What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour number two of the G-Back Nation on 105 through the fan. We got the C-Note coming up in 20 minutes. We'll take a look at all your Cowboys headlines and news of the day. But joining us now, the national NBA writer for the All-City Network, our guy Tim Cato here on the fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Hello, friends. How are you guys today?
We are doing outstanding, man. Thank you so much for jumping in here and blessing us with your basketball brain. This is quite a whirlwind around Anthony Davis right now. What are the variables, as they said here, with 3 weeks to go to the deadline?
Yeah, it was a weird day. It was a weird yesterday. It was Anthony Davis out for the season, and then Anthony Davis himself is like, hang on, hold up. You can't believe that. that's not actually the case. And then it turns out it looks like the most accurate depiction of what's going on in Anthony Davis land is that he is going to undergo surgery, that he may or may not be able to return the season in 2 to 3 months. Now, the funny thing is, if you look at a calendar and you fast forward 3 months, I'm not sure Dallas is going to be playing basketball games at that point of the calendar, but at least the idea that he could return is out there. And I think the reason that matters is because Dallas is still very engaged in the trade market. And, you know, for any team looking to trade for Anthony Davis, we'll circle back to that in a sec. But any team interested in trading Anthony Davis, you know, if he's going to return that season, that obviously changes the calculus a lot. My sense is that Rich Paul, Anthony Davis's agent and Anthony Davis's camp, you know, maybe Rich Paul specifically are the people most into the idea of Anthony Davis being in a new NBA franchise. I don't think Dallas is as motivated to trade just for trade's sake, that they feel they have to move on. This is not a disgruntled locker room situation like John Morant, you know, or many other such cases in over the past few years of the NBA. The question is really just, is there going to be a market for him? Is there going to be interest that fits what Dallas is looking for in terms of a return for, you know, a guy who is their best player, just not on the court a lot and not really matching the Cooper Flagg timeline?
The most interesting thing today, I thought, was the idea that there are teams, or I guess this has been out there for a while now, that there are teams that are willing to give Anthony Davis an extension. So do you buy that?
I'm not entirely sure I do. Especially the extension part. Again, I said that the primary motivator or the people behind the scenes most pushing for Anthony Davis to be traded is Anthony Davis's camp. It's not Dallas. And of course, it looks great if you keep pumping it out to the media landscape that, you know, there are so many teams interested in Anthony Davis. I know that there are teams interested in the idea of Anthony Davis. I think that's a big difference than being interested and interested at a level that meets what Dallas would be looking for in terms of return. Right now, my best guess is that he is stuck here in Dallas until the start of next season. And, you know, at which point the hope is that he can prove that his body is not breaking down, you know, once a month, and that he still has the ability to be, you know, the high level basketball player that we have seen on the court. That's my hunch, but trade deadline is unpredictable. I was probably on this station with you guys about this time last year, and I was like, yeah, Dallas is going to have a quiet off season or a trade deadline. You know, don't expect anything major. Yeah. So things do change.
Yeah, we're starting to get closer to that one-year anniversary that nobody wants to talk about, Tim. But when we loop in that whole deal that happened a year ago, are the Mavericks, the likelihood that they get the return on an AD trade just seems to be less and less likely. How do you think they weigh, and in your opinion, just starting fresh and just ripping the Band-Aid off? Because so many of their fan base, I'm sure, when they just see Anthony Davis in general in street clothes or on the floor, are just reminded by that trade still.
Yeah, it's a really tricky one. And you know, I was at the LLS this time last year. I was on the show, you know, 5 times a week, an hour a day. And, you know, it felt like we were doing therapy, you know, for a lot of it. And, you know, I've always been very, very sympathetic to the fan sentiment and how they feel about it. Obviously, at the same time, I don't think that the Dallas front office can take that into effect or take that into consideration at the expense of making a trade that they think makes sense for them. They're not going to get a huge return back on Anthony Davis. It is possible that, you know, as his contract winds down and if he were to come back next season and play some games, that it becomes a slightly more manageable risk for other teams to take and gamble on. So I don't think it's, you know, just completely undeniable. Sorry, I got distracted. My mother was calling me. She probably wants Anthony Davis updates as well. So. but yeah, you know, the other thing I'll say is that we've all said it, but it is wild looking at all the draft capital, all the picks in the future that Dallas traded to build around Luka. And the idea about trading future draft picks is that Luka was your insurance because of his age, because of the way he raises the floor of the team. And, you know, now they're in a situation where even if they don't move Anthony Davis, the best case scenario is that, you know, they've got one draft pick coming up, you know, that they own outright for about the next half decade. You know, Anthony Davis going down is really unfortunate in a lot of ways, but, you know, in terms of the team's goals and what they should be this season, I do think that, you know, a soft tank is pretty much what's in store.
Yeah, that's why I kind of don't mind not trading him, because if you do get players back that can help you win now, you know, then we pick up a couple of extra wins late and the lottery swings a little bit out of your favor. You know, I do think as down as some fans might be to have to see Anthony Davis still, because it reminds them of the Luka Doncic trade, I think, to your point, hanging on to him until early next year might be the way to best optimize what you can get for him and to maximize your chances of the draft lottery. So I don't mind it if sometimes I still have to look away, and it's painful to observe. It's just a few more months.
Yeah, and that's just the reality of the team also. It's like, you know, if he's not movable, if he's going to be sidelined, you know, it's
Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It may be the path that Dallas fans just have to embrace.
Tim, so what about any other players on the roster? I guess I saw a report today, and maybe you can add more context. The Mavs don't want to trade Najee Marshall, but I'd assume any type of perimeter defender, whether it's him or PJ Washington, you always see teams being interested in closer to the deadline. So is there anybody else? I know the focus is Anthony Davis, but you think the Mavericks could be in play to ship off any of their other players on the roster?
Yeah, I think you mentioned PJ Washington. I think he would be, you know, the prime trade target that was drawing a lot of buzz. Because of the extension he signed before the season, he is not trade eligible this year. So he won't be in those talks. Najee certainly will, and there's been reporting to that fact. He's a really good player. He's got the best floater in the entire NBA. The stats back that up. It's not just our eye test. You know, Dallas really likes having him around. You know, but that's a player that I, you know, my sense, And emphasize on sense. I this isn't coming directly from, you know, the Mavs front office or anything. But my sense is that they got a really compelling offer. That's something that they would listen to for Najee Marshall. They are going to shed salary next season. You know, like they're about $5 million away from the second apron. You know, just the money on their books right now, and that's before you even factor in the first round salary slot. So they're definitely going to shed some salary. It could be over the summer, but I'd be pretty surprised if Daniel Gafford, Klay Thompson, or Najee Marshall, one of those three, at least one of those guys, I think is going to be moving on. The question is just, what are the markets like for Klay and Gafford? My sense, again, and this is more informed from talking to people around the league, is that Gafford has more of a market than Klay Thompson. But I think both of those players are guys that other, you know, opponents, you know, especially guys in the East, teams in the East that think they could kind of make a push for it. You know, they're at least going to take a look at guys like that. So I would expect at least one of those veterans that doesn't really fit the Cooper timeline to be, moved at the deadline. Question is just which one it is. And, if it's Najee, I think it's going to be a pretty it would have to be a pretty compelling trade offer.
I do wonder, Tim, if like Cooper Flagg's championship window could start next year if you could make the right moves around him. So I would want to like give serious consideration to let's keep all of our veteran good players, because the advantage in this salary cap era of the NBA is to try to win big when you have young guys on your roster who haven't gotten the big paycheck yet.
Yeah, 100%. Is Dallas actually in a position to be there? Maybe. Certainly what I will say, they don't own their first-round pick next year. So there is no incentive to tank. There's no incentive to lose. That is a little bit different than saying they have to go into next season and try to win. If the right team-building step is just acknowledging that the team is still a season away, an off-season away from, a few more moves away, and maybe one more year of Cooper development, he's already this good. Lord knows how good he's going to be here in a couple of years. That's an acceptable outcome. You're going to go into next year trying to win as best you can. But the right move is just whatever you feel is the right steps to build a contender around Cooper Flagg. If this is a team that's in the lottery next season, it's going to be a real bummer because Dallas doesn't have that pick. But as long as it's in pursuit of smart team building around Cooper for the near-term future, I think that's also okay.
Tim, when it comes to trying to trade Anthony Davis, like the role of Rich Paul in all of this, is that a good thing to have him as the agent and trying to get him moved? Or like, how do you explain Rich Paul's role in all of this and trying to get Anthony Davis traded?
Oh man, big question there. Rich Paul is the most influential agent in the NBA. That is just objectively true. Clutch has a lot of power that it can wield, but it doesn't have so much power that it can force a front office to do something. And that's what Dallas's pushback has been, is that, it doesn't matter how much Anthony Davis and his camp and Rich Paul want him traded. It's still going to be, the decision to trade him or to not trade him at this deadline, if there is interest, is going to come down to Dallas doing what they believe is the right basketball move. And that's obviously, it makes it a little bit complicated because people in the front office have to actually go out and say this and kind of push this narrative to counteract, what Rich Paul, now a podcaster, is going around saying. But I think in the grand scheme of things, there are prolific agents. There are agents who have more of a public figure. There are agents who, are a chore to work with behind the scenes. I'm not saying Rich Paul specifically is any of those things, but dealing with agents is part of front office's job. And I think it just brings more exposure and more headlines to the thing. I don't think it really changes the basketball operation and their execution, their assessment of what they're going to do with Anthony Davis.
Tim, your sources and stuff around the team, when you ask them, is Cooper Flagg been even better than advertised or even better? I mean, are people like, listen, we thought this guy was this, but man, he's even better than what we even thought.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. What I hear a lot is that he's this good already without a three-pointer. The three-pointer has not translated at all so far as rookie season. There's going to be a lot of ironing out for him to do and to become just a more consistent jump shooter. The fact that he is already, the league's best driving forward, that he is just so fluid and so able to, change the angles in which he attacks, it's just remarkable. He's been everything that they expected, and yes, I think even a bit more than that.
All-star?
Maybe a little too soon, a little too hot. That first month was still a little bit ugly for him, yeah. But All-star adjacent, he gets one of those nods where it's like, you know, honorable mentions, have to say the name, you know, have to throw out, you know, throw it out there. You know, I considered him, but no, he is not an all-star this year, unfortunately.
How do you think the remainder of the season plays out with the Kyrie plan?
I don't have a good sense of what's going to happen there. I haven't heard anything specifically lately, but it sure seems like there's not a lot of benefit to him coming back this year. And at this point, you know, unless it's, you know, very end of the season, but even then, if you get that close to the end of the season, usually you just see players in this situation get shut down. I wouldn't expect him to see him on the court this season. But again, that's more my assessment just based logically off what Dallas is trying to accomplish this season.
Great stuff, Tim. Love reading it. Appreciate your insights as always and the basketball conversation. We'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
Absolutely. Great to talk to you guys as always.
Salute. There he is, Tim Cato, now the national NBA writer at the All City Network. Absolutely blowing up. You know, sometimes when we have these guys on, they're just like, they're too good, right? It's like, oh, this guy's got an upward trajectory. I can think of David Hellman. I can think of Nick Harris, Tim Cato, obviously, in that. I mean, Tim McMahon has blown up, but, sure. You know, that's a big deal there, going from ESPN Dallas to SportsCenter, basically. So it's a pleasure to be able to chat sports with these guys, and Tim Cato's definitely in the group of one of my favorites.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.